land of ours is under attack. The time has come, we're gonna take it back. Just wait and see, don't tread on me. I won't sit back, stand idly by, watch the heart of my nation die. Oh, not me, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guts. Don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me, don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Has come, gonna take a stand, spread these words all across the land, from sea to sea, don't tread on me. So tell your neighbors, tell all your friends, gonna see that eagle flying high again. You better believe, don't tread on me. Don't tread on my Bible, don't tread on my guns, don't you tread on my faith in God's only Son. Don't tread on me. Don't tread on me. Better leave me alone, cause I wanna be free. And I'll damn sure fight for my liberty. I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me. Yeah, I'm telling you, brother, don't tread on me.
Welcome back into the show. Second hour on this Friday, January 5th, 2024 edition of Your Defending Fathers with Trucker Randy Bishop here on the Patriot Voice Radio Network. Two text messages just to wrap up the last hour's discussion regarding zoning. Let's see. Let's start with Nikki Coons first. Zoning, if it's not in the Constitution, it's null and void and unlawful. Izzy Lyman, former county commissioner there in Emmett County. She says one of the current county commissioners, David Lofbaum, actually resigned from serving on the zoning board due to the mean-spiritedness of the members. He was at the county commissioner's meeting and said he was fed up. He said these people are basically micromanaging zoning and on a mission to exert power and authority over citizens that they do not have. So that's the take on zoning, and put that to bed. So greatly appreciate those comments. Joining us now, as usual, is our history lesson discussion. Pastor Jeffield, this lesson plan today, you're talking about the French Revolution.
Right. So this is what we're covering in high school world history. Let me give you a quote that I put to memory from Edmund Burke. He's known as the father of modern conservatism. He was a British parliamentarian, and while he supported the American Revolution, 1776, he was all against the French Revolution because he saw what would happen, and he was right. So this is this will just open this whole thing up. He said this: men are qualified for civil liberty in exact proportion to their own disposition to put moral chains on their own appetites. Society cannot exist unless a controlling power upon will and appetite is placed somewhere. And the less of it there is within, the more there must be without. It is ordained in the eternal constitution of things that men of intemperate minds cannot be free. Their passions forge their fetters. I could go and listen. And this goes along with what Ben Franklin said. The less people are able to control themselves, the more need they have of masters. It goes along with what John Adams said. Our Constitution is made only for religious and moral people. It is wholly inadequate for the government of any other. There has to be a moral base in a country, or you can't handle freedom. Countries are not ready for freedom. Now, France was the most powerful nation in Europe by the turn of the 17th century, the early 1700s. Let's start off talking about Louis the 14th. He called himself the Sun King. He became king in the 17th century. He's 5 years old, but he reigned for an awful long time. He called himself the Sun King. He said he ruled for 70 years. He said, I am the state. He ruled with absolute authority.
Mm.
It is said he had 14 men to help him get dressed. He ruled in absolute, total control of France. And there was some prosperity. He is the king that built Versailles, this huge, not just a palace, but the grounds of Versailles.
Oh, yeah.
And it to call it elaborate is an understatement. He displayed all this pomp and all this splendor. And he centered every part of the government around him. He would have parties just so he could keep an eye on the lords, but ruled in absolute authority in France. But the end was coming.
Amen. Absolutely. We're going to get into that and more. French Revolution. We'll be right back. Hey everybody, it's Trucker Randy, the Yo-Yo Diet King. I have literally lost hundreds of pounds in my life. Slim Fast in the 90s, Nutrisystem in 2000, South Beach, Superfoods, they all worked in the short term, only to gain it all back plus some. Now that I'm 65, I really wanted to find a program that would increase my metabolism to burn my belly fat, bring my hormones back to my younger days without any exercising. Then I met Missy of MyPure Health Solutions. She explained how her program does exactly what I was looking for. Go to TruckerRandyHealth.com, follow my journey with Missy, and see that I dropped 22 pounds of body fat in the first 14 days without exercising and eating real foods. Again, go to TruckerRandyHealth.com and schedule a free consultation. Or call Missy at 269-964-4044. Let Missy change your metabolism just like she's changed mine. Do it today.
If you are a PIE&G electric customer, call and get on the PIE&G Connect Express today. Call 800-423-6634 to get connected to the best, fastest, most reliable fiber internet connection in northern Michigan. Faster than Frontier, speedier than Sunrise, all at an affordable price. So call them today at 800-423-6634 and get on the PIE&G Connect internet train. All aboard!
Shut the door, close the border, build that wall. It is time for a strong senator to help close the border. Hi, I'm Dr. Sherry O'Donnell, candidate for the U.S. Senate. Biden's open door policy has caused this massive refugee crisis that endangers our country, increases drug trafficking, and is costing taxpayers billions of dollars. Check out my plan at DocSherry2024.com. I'm not a recycled politician. I will pull off the Band-Aid and cure this problem. Together, we can stop illegal immigration. Paid for by Doc Sherry for Senate.
Be a smart consumer this year. It's time for a new set of all-season tires. Or get a complete set of snow ice tires and winter wheels custom-sized to your vehicle. Bolt them on and store your summer tires and factory wheels for the winter. Stop by Royal Tire at 402 West Mitchell Street in Petoskey and order yours today. Don't wait till everybody needs them. Stop into Royal Tire in Petoskey today and beat everyone else. Let it snow, let it snow, let it snow.
Hey everybody, welcome back into the show. History lesson discussion with Pastor Chatfield talking about the French Revolution. I want to interject on our website for the show, yourdefendingfathers.com. You mentioned Edmund Burke, and I paraphrased one of his famous sayings to make it fit on the website. All that is necessary for evil to triumph is for a few good men to do nothing. And I credited it to Edmund Burke.
Right.
But that lengthy statement that you read or like you say, maybe have committed to memory. I can't believe that. That's a huge statement.
I have committed many of those type things. It's so important. It's so true.
Yes, absolutely. Yeah, when you have time after the show, text me that quote, because I want to break it down, because, man, there's so much in there that is just absolutely right on. He was amazing in some of his quotes. But in what's it called? The Garden of Versailles? What is it actually technically called?
The Palace.
The Palace
of Versailles. And it's still there. You can go and tour it. It is an amazing, ornate, built by, Louis the 14th.
Now, are all the grounds, all the acres that were there, are they still intact?
Yes. I mean,
wow.
It's a tourist attraction now.
Sure, sure.
And you'll pay a lot of money to go there, which is, I guess, kind of worth it. And there's a lot of history in Versailles. That, by the way, is where Woodrow Wilson went after World War One, and where the Treaty of Versailles was negotiated, which was never approved of by the United States Senate.
Okay.
After World War One,
so that's actually when they called it the Treaty of Versailles. That's because it was actually on the palace grounds.
Yes, yes. And so Louis the 14th dies. His son Louis the 15th was weaker. And now here is a truth here, and I don't know where we'll go on practical application of this, but they were spending money they didn't have, and they were running shorter, more and more short on money. Louis the 15th. Now was a weaker king. He didn't have the personality of Louis the 14th. And there were forces at work in Europe and in France that were starting to question this totally absolute power of the monarchy. This is what we'd call in Europe, there was the Frenchman Voltaire, is known as the father of the Enlightenment, and he was the father of rationalism, that man's reason. He wasn't a Christian at all, but man's reason should dictate what happens. Jean-Jacques Rousseau, father of Romanticism, which rebelled against Voltaire, and his idea was that we need to return to a state of nature, and that feelings matter. And so there were a lot of things that were starting to weigh against this absolutism of the Bourbon kings. Louis the 15th, at his death, said this: "After me, the deluge." Things were beginning to crack. In other words, he could see something. He could see something was coming, and this happened in 1774, about 15 years before the French Revolution. So the Bourbon kings, now we got Louis the 16th, his wife, Marie Antoinette, they still have a lot of splendor. This is where you get all these ridiculous parties and so on and so forth. Now, in France, they had something called the Estates General, which would be the French version of Parliament. But the Parliament, the Estates General, had not met in 170 years. The king ruled by absolute authority, but he was running out of money, and he went to the nobles and said, "I need some money." The Estates General, let me just say this, it's divided into three separate groups. The clergy were the first estate, the nobility was the second estate, everybody else was the third estate. Middle-class peasants, and the vast majority of the French people were peasants. And there was an ever-increasing middle class, but they weren't really middle, obviously. But there was a pent-up demand now for some freedom. The French Revolution, basically, you could say, kind of started when the nobility basically forced Louis the 16th to call for the Estates General. He says, "If you're going to tax us, we got to have some say-so on all this." So the Estates General returns, and they have this meeting, and they're trying to curb a little bit the power of the king. But the nobility had no idea that they were opening up a can of worms. The Estates General could not agree on anything. And so you had these three estates, these three sections of what we'll call the French Parliament, could not agree. Finally, A few priests said, you know what, the peasants have been suffering too long, and they kind of went along with the Third Estate. On June 17th, the Third Estate left the Estates General and declared themselves to be the National Assembly. So what had started as the aristocrats saying to the king, the nobility, saying, hey, you gotta give us some say-so, it kind of went out of their hands, and it went over to this new National Assembly. They, and we're talking 1789, on June 20th, they left the Estates General, went to a outdoor tennis court, and had what we call the tennis court oath, and they swore, we are not going to disband until we get a constitution. And so they did. They didn't know where this was going either, because this was relatively moderate conservative. There were a lot of, you know, saying, we just want a constitution. We want a constitution like they have in the United States. And there, and by the way, a lot of this stuff is going on. What's going on in America? This is right after we had a constitution. They knew of the Constitutional Convention of 1787. They knew that we had a constitution. They said, we have got to have a constitution. And a lot of them were wanting a constitution very much like the one that we had. But the problem was, they didn't have the character. They didn't have the experience. They didn't have any experience in representative government. So Louis XVI's wife, Marie Antoinette, his brothers, some nobles, basically said, King, this National Assembly is a threat to your power. So the king calls up 18,000 troops, sends them to Versailles. But when they see all this happening, they say, now he's going to try to kill us all. And so what started off as a relatively under control movement is now turning into a mass revolution. And the beginning, the real violent edge, this is, by the way, the second part of, you can divide the French Revolution into three stages. First, nobility, now the middle class. But then it quickly goes to the third stage, in which is something called the storming of the Bastille, where masses of people basically went to this old castle in Paris, stormed it, broke into it, released a few prisoners, and said, this is it. We're going to have an overthrow. It is said that when this happened, that Louis XVI said, this is revolt. Whereupon the messenger that gave him the message, he said, no, sire, it is revolution. In other words, this is now not just a movement. This is not just a revolt. This is a true revolution. So what happens is this all goes out to the countryside. And the king doesn't slaughter people. Let me just make a comment, and I hope our listeners understand this. If you're going to be a dictator, you got to dictate, and you got to have the will to. This never happened in Stalin's Soviet Union. Why? Because he would just slaughter people. He would just kill them. He would kill people.
If they were opposed to anything that he wanted to do, I don't ever remember Stalin's tactics to debate or to call out his opponents. They just disappear off the face of the earth.
Exactly right. Same with Saddam Hussein, who was the dictator of Iraq.
Sure.
You can watch this. You can look this up on video, where he's got this meeting and he's sitting there up in the front smoking a cigar, and he's got his men coming in, pulling different people out of the audience that were opposed to him, and basically just executing them, just taking them out. And they're never heard of. You have to reign with terror. And Louis XVI didn't have the stomach for that.
Sure.
And so once this happens, now you got roving bands of peasants now, not just the middle class, but peasants that are going into estates, and they had the numbers, obviously, and just pulling out aristocrats and murdering them. And that is the way it is.
Taking them right out of their homes.
Right. They came up with this new slogan, life, equality, fraternity, or death. And the revolution just, unlike our revolution, unlike our Declaration of Independence, which was a meeting in the summer of 1787 of men that were deciding what they were going to do. And, you know, we, therefore, the representatives of the United States of America. I mean, we had our debates, but we were people that were used to self-government and had we had state legislatures. Every colony had a legislature. Every Sure. colony had some fundamental ideas, and every colony had been affected by the Great Awakening, or the revival of Christianity. And it was just way different. The revolution in France kept becoming more and more radical. The extremists called themselves the Jacobin Club, and they had committed themselves. Anybody who opposed the revolution, we were going to ruthlessly put down, and that's what they began to do. So there was different. They drew up different constitutions. It was the Constitution again of 1791. The Constituent Assembly, which had replaced the National Assembly, it was popularly elected, but it gave the king only limited power. They said, the king, you can't say I'm the state. You got to say Louis, by the grace of God and the Constitution, king of the state. So this is all happening. Louis the 16th now sees what's happening, and he attempts to flee. He leaves a note behind saying, I renounce the revolution. He was hoping to flee France, get out to the rest of Europe, and get some help from other monarchs that didn't want this happening, and then come back and take over. But he was caught before he could leave. They find the note. He's arrested. Eventually, he and his wife are executed. So you have now you've killed the king. There's no going back now. Now there is in 1792, he's executed. This new national convention, which is controlled by the left, and they start using the guillotine on anybody who is remotely sympathetic to the king. And it's taken over by a committee of public safety, because things are so out of hand, that collapses. So you have these different governments called different things in France. And finally, you have this what's called the Committee of Public Safety, 12 men who have almost absolute police power. And one of them rises to the top. Always happens. One leader always rises, Maximilian Robespierre. And he's a prominent member of the Jacobin Club. And he basically takes over. And during what his year in power is called, the Reign of Terror, about 40,000 people are guillotined. Mm. Anybody that had ever spoken in favor of the Bourbon kings, any aristocrat, anybody, everybody was subject to be grabbed. I mean, and all somebody would have to do is, I renounce you. I accuse you. And once you're accused, you're guilty. If you're accused of, obviously, I mean, he said something good. I mean, and so they used their power to arrest people and execute people. And they wanted to overthrow the government, and they did, the monarchy, and they did. But they equated the Roman Catholic Church. Any form of Christianity was against the state. They viewed Christianity as a partner with monarchism. And there was they overthrew all. They tried to set up during this period of time, do away with the week, 7-day week. We're going to have a 10-day week, and we're going to do away with the old measuring system. We're going to set up a metric system, and it's tried to change everything about the culture.
Wow, amazing! Great spot for a break. Bottom of the hour news. I'm Chuck Randy. He's Pastor Rusty Chatfield. We'll be right back.